Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Rivers passes. Caught for the touchdown by Williams. Phillip Rivers puts two fingers up as if they are going to go for the win.
I was going to the sideline. I was gone. Coach Land said, let's go win it right now.
Mike Vrabel did this earlier in the year against the Chargers.
I mean, I love Mike Vrabel.
End zone wide open. What a night for Mike Williams. And the Chargers have their first lead of the night.
Yeah. Let's go win it right now.
Right now.
It's not my anus. It's just a chocolate mold.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, man. As you watched that game last night. Good game, by the way. Terrific game. A lot of fun. Went down to the wire. Yeah, and then you had a coach that strapped him on and said, we're going for two, okay? We're going for the win. But from a Patriots standpoint, you look back at that last play in Miami last week and you say, you got to be kidding me. Had we handled that last play properly, you're sitting in the number one seat right now. Number one seed in the AFC, in great shape, doing the thing that you can do in the postseason, and that is win in Foxborough. Perfect
yes,
position.
Yes, 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 yes. But you know the way Patriot fans look at it, even though we lost, it was still, you know, there's still a chance.
There is a chance.
There's still a chance. Now, if you can win out and both these teams drop a game, yeah, you will have the number one seed. You will have that head-to-head with Kansas City. You'll have the strength of schedule over San Diego, strength of victory, I should say. So, yeah, you can still get that number one seed. I don't know how you feel about the going for two. I'm not a big fan of it.
I liked it.
Although there are exceptions, and I think that might have fallen one of them as far as Pat Mahomes and this offense. And, you know, you get into overtime for what a 75-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill, and the game's over.
Yeah.
So I understand it. I get it. But it worked. I mean, we base it all on results.
See, I think a lot of
if they failed to do that, don't you think they'd be getting ripped?
If they failed to go for two?
No, if they went for two and didn't get it and lost the game.
Probably, but we always judge it on the result. We never judge it on the intent.
I don't like judging on the result. I like judging on the intent.
Okay, but that's why I think this one is different. Because you look at it, you're on the road. It is a tough place to play. I mean, Phillip Rivers was talking about this when the game was over, how loud the crowd is. We know that's a problem. Now you take him into overtime. Suppose you lose the flip of the coin. Kansas City gets the ball first. Patrick Mahomes is very capable of moving that ball down and getting seven. Now you never get an opportunity to touch the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to win this game. I think Anthony Lynn made the right choice, and I think it'll pay off for him because I think he's going to win Coach of the Year because they'll look at a bunch of candidates of guys that took teams further than where we thought they were going to go. This guy, people will remember what he did last night.
Yeah, you know, he probably did. He won it last night. What do you think about your boy Andy Reid? Did he do it again last night?
Yes. You know, stupid timeout.
Usually, a lot of times, like when they have the ball and just mismanaging the clock. So last night, you know, the Chargers have to use their last timeout with like whatever it is, 13 seconds left because of a sack. Then he throws an incomplete pass. So now you're talking about basically what? Well, actually, it was first and goal because it was pass interference.
Right.
But then he calls a timeout with 8 seconds to go. And Phillip Rivers, he talked about this after the game. That actually helped him out.
Yeah.
When we had to use that last timeout after my sack, when I should have probably thrown it away, we were getting a little bit of scramble mode.
Uh-huh.
You know, Andy Reid called one timeout that gave us a little bit of time to regroup. And here we said, let's throw Michael Fade or Gates down the seam with 8 seconds left. If we don't score now, we can run it or throw it on the last play of the game. But we scored there with 8 seconds
left. But you had the...
See, my feeling on that one is...
Thanks for letting us regroup.
The only thing I can think that Andy Reid was thinking at that point is that his defense, if you remember, were running around with their heads cut off because they were pissed off at the pass interference. My feeling was the pass interference was borderline, but I think the officials realized that Rivers got helmeted.
Yes.
You know, he got hit,
and
nobody called it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably sitting there saying, make up call. If there's anything close, we're calling it.
So his defense is rattled.
Yes. That's the only thing.
If that's your defense... Which isn't very good, correct?
Not good.
You know what I mean? Like, if you got a good defense, you say it's more important for my defense to get their head right. Because when my defense's head's right, we can stop anybody. You think he feels that way about his team? I know he shouldn't.
The only thing I would throw in there with Andy Reid is this is Andy Reid. I think he's a terrific coach, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Comes up with innovative stuff that people look at and have to figure out. And it takes sometimes, you know, seasons for people to figure out what he's doing with all this motion crap. But when a game is on the line at the end, it speeds up. And old Andy doesn't have that much.
Yeah, and I would say that's San Diego impressed me. I just,
they're well-rounded.
Yeah, and you know, you could say what you want about Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, but the fact that they come back on the road at Pittsburgh
huge.
After looking like they didn't show up in the first half, in those first couple of drives there last night in Kansas City, it looked like they weren't ready again, but they still come back and win. They're doing it without Melvin Gordon. They're doing it basically without Keenan Allen in that game.
They're down to their third and fourth running back.
To be able to win on the road at Kansas City, at Pittsburgh, say what you want about Pittsburgh. What to me, that's impressive. That does show you that that team can go on the road and win big games.
I agree. And you want to know something? They may be better winning on the road than they are at home. They have a 27,000-seat stadium, and the people that are in San Diego, they don't go up there anymore in L.A. So could you imagine the Patriots playing an AFC championship game in Los Angeles, 27,000 seats? People will fly out of here. The 20,000 of the 27,000 will be Patriot fans.
Can you imagine an AFC title game with 27,000 people in the stadium?
You might have it. Might happen. I think you're going to probably – see, I still think the Chargers are going to win that division. I told you earlier today I get this all figured out.
Okay, go ahead.
Got it all figured out. So I went the game by game, and I look at New England. New England's got Pittsburgh. I think they win. Buffalo, they win. Jets, they win. 12-4. They're your number two seed. Chargers are your number one seed with a 13-3 record because they beat Baltimore at home, and then they beat Denver in Denver. I think Kansas City loses next week in Seattle. Seattle can run the football maybe better, and they have a quarterback who runs as well. So it's a little bit deceiving. A little bit deceiving, but their offense is much better than the Seattle teams you remember in the past. They run the football. Kansas City can't stop the run. And then they beat Oakland. So they win one of their two. They're 12-4. That drops Kansas City to a number five seed. Number five. Well, imagine having the season they had.
More importantly for me, even going into that game last night, win or lose, doesn't even if Kansas City won and took control of that number one seed and San Diego sat back, you still have a scenario where these two teams meet up again in that second round.
Yeah, so what you end up with is
which is a good chance of either one knocking each other off.
Right.
Like San Diego going into Kansas City and then you get home field for the AFC title game in Gillette.
So either the Chiefs or the Chargers.
If you take care of business this week.
Right. Either the Chiefs or the Chargers end up with the number one seed. I think we think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then that means that the other one is going to end up with your number five seed. But the way the brackets work out, New England finishes as the number two seed. They would get the winner of the 3 and 6 wild card seed.
Oh, unless it's six.
Unless it's six, correct. Yeah. So that looks to be Indianapolis and Houston, right?
Right now, yeah.
Right. And then you get the 5 and you get the 4. If Kansas City is the 5, as I believe they will be, they may have to go into a place like Baltimore, who gets the number 4 seed, or Pittsburgh, that ends up with the number 4 seed. And then they get to play the Chargers or vice versa, Kansas City.
Go into San Diego and
they get
win,
to play each other again.
Title game
those two teams who played last night are probably going to play again, and it's going to be before they get to an AFC championship.
Yeah, and there's a good chance they can knock them off. So, but you got to take care of business, I would say, this week. If I was to ask you, the New England Patriots, because I know what your answer should be and Fauria's answer should be, what's the biggest surprise this year for the New England Patriots?
The biggest surprise this season?
Yeah.
Well, let me guess, you're going to give me the
Albert
Josh
McClellan
Gordon thing.
A Pro Bowler.
That's a good one.
McClellan, that would be the biggest surprise.
I would say that Josh Gordon is still on this team.
Yeah.
And is still a productive player.
Yeah.
And is a hell of a lot closer.
Because you predicted this.
To the best case scenario that I threw out there a long time ago and was mocked by both of you.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of eyes here. I would say he's been terrific. Excellent. Matter of fact, if you look at his numbers, I think he's got the most yards or average yardage per catch of any player in the league since he came
back. Yeah.
Something like that.
Do you have my bold prediction?
But here's the biggest surprise.
Scenario? Do you have my base case? Oh, I just want to hear it again. I just want to refresh my memory. I'll go back in time.
Please.
Tap it, Mr. Gambling Guy. How many catches? How many touchdowns?
70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 90 touchdowns. 9 touchdowns. 70 catches. 1,000 yards.
Do you notice when Lou's wrong, he never asked the guys
yards,
in the booth to,
can
you go back? Can you play
no,
this?
No, I do want to say, I don't know if you have the correction there.
How about the bullpen, the Red Sox bullpen?
I don't know if you
can
want
to go back and find while Lou trashed
the
Red Sox bullpen back in September?
That was based on 14 weeks, right? 5 catches a week.
Yeah.
So when he missed week 3, I think it was like, okay, I got to bring it down a little bit. So I went 65 and I think went 850. Do you know that he's pretty much on pace for not 65, but I don't know, about 52, 53, and like 900 yards, over 900 yards.
He's been excellent, Lou.
Is that closer than Fourier's 225 catches and 300 yards that he had?
Will it make you feel better when I say, Lou, you were right, Lou.
Thank you.
You were right. How about the bullpen, though, in September? You want to go back and want to dig that tape out?
Bullpen wasn't good in September.
Oh, you had no faith in the bullpen. And look what the bullpen did.
And a guy,
they won a championship.
Kelly and Barnes, who had eight ERAs in September and August.
Here's the biggest surprise, though, of all the players. I still think it's Trent Brown. I don't think anybody thought that bringing Trent Brown in here could end up shoring up your left tackle. We talked about this in the preseason. This
Trent
is
about big. He big.
This is an issue with protecting Brady because he's, I don't know if you heard, he's 41 years of age
now. I have heard that, yes.
41. So I would say Trent Brown, but you're right. Josh Gordon has been terrific.
I would say Gordon, though.
And the fact that he's still here.
And the fact that how efficient he has been lately.
Well, it's not about his efficiency or anything. It's about he's still here.
Well, that's probably the biggest surprise.
Okay.
That he's still here. He's not suspended yet.
Can we put you on record?
Yet.
Will he still be here next week? It's Buffalo on the schedule. The following week, Jets are on the schedule.
Are we going best case scenario?
No, we're going your prediction.
Yes. Who's best case scenario? What definition are we going to use?
Mine. You know, the real one, like when it's like best case scenario, like, yes, ideally he's here the rest of the year. So, yeah, that's
so if he's here for the rest of the year and then we get to the offseason, they can put a tag on him and the most he can get is $2 million, right? It's a $2 million
tag. He's here next year.
So he's here next year.
Then
they
start to worry.
They can control him.
Yes.
Then that is the following year's his free agency season, which is pretty amazing. So you go and you work out this deal for him, and you've been right so far, Lou. And if he continues doing this in the offseason, and he shows up back here for the OTAs, this could be a great find. For the New England Patriots. Great find. Because they're going to control him again.
Sounds like the quarterback really has been enjoying working with him.
Well, he should be. He likes him.
Your work with him, has anything special stood out? And we all know he's a tremendous athlete, but maybe as a student of the game or on the practice field?
Yeah, no, I just really enjoyed our time together. And, you know, we spend so much time here. I mean, we're here till late at night, early in the morning, and on the field watching film and so forth. And it's just been... it's been great. I can't say enough good things.
Yeah, watching a lot of film.
And remember the first few weeks?
You know why he's keeping him there late, right?
Yeah, he is. Do you know the first?
Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
Now listen, when we're done watching this film, I want you to go straight home, lock your door.
Brush your teeth.
Go do some nannies. Go to bed.
Do you remember the first? Few weeks when nobody would say anything about Josh Gordon? Remember that? They were so timid about him. Yeah, okay, we'll see. Nobody would say a word about him. And now you're right. They obviously feel comfortable with him. He's figured stuff out. What did Josh Gordon, did he have anything to say about how the praise by Tom Brady?
Josh, Tom was just talking about how you two have been spending a lot of hours here at the facility pretty late. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've made a point of doing, is trying to kind of keep pace with Brady in terms of work and stuff like that?
I think it's a good suggestion to take if somebody offers it to you, especially Tom Brady. I think it's something that you should pick up on and should try to get involved in, so that's what I need.
He's been saying this, though. Hasn't he, for the last 5 or 6 weeks, what Brady has meant to him and what Brady has done?
Wow. Yes, 70 catches, 1,000 yards, and 90 touchdowns. Yeah,
Brady's like a healer, you know?
He's going to be about 55 catches.
Yeah, he writes
950 yards.
Gordon writes his book, and then the movie comes out, and then Tom Brady was his savior.
You think about it, it's like,
brought
his
life together.
Well, you mean Josh, you know, Tom Brady's telling you things. It's not the same when it's Cody Kessler. You don't get the same feeling when it's... you know, who was the other guys there? Jesus, the clipboard Jesus?
Richard Pryor, I think, was his quarterback at one point.
No,
he was the comedian.
I'm out of the day, man.
Josh McCown and Hoyer was there. Brandon Whedon, these guys didn't get home. They didn't get that message home.
Apparently, this was a message from God. Tom, you need to straighten this kid out.
Or just a capable quarterback.
Maybe. I don't know, but the kid's been great. Yeah. He's been terrific all season long.
I think that's the biggest surprise.
And by the way, they desperately needed him.
Ooh. You ain't kidding.
Because you could look at it this way and say, where would, and I think the same thing about Trent Brown. I think they would be in a lot of trouble if they didn't have Trent Brown.
Part of me
but you're right about Josh Gordon. Where would they be without Josh Gordon?
Chris Hogan doing Chris Hogan things.
Right. But when it comes to the offensive line, it's just, I feel like with Dante Scarnecchia and Brady, I just figure they always just figure it out.
The healers.
They just figure it out.
See, Brady's a healer in a lot of
different
areas.
Last time you saw a wide receiver come in, you know, in this type of situation, just show up and have the impact that he has? You know, week four.
And, you know, somebody somebody came in 1 year.
Like, if you tell me, when was the last time an offensive lineman, a no-name offensive lineman came in, we sat there and said, wow, you know, really impressed with how this lineman played. I mean, I feel like that happens a lot. Wide receiver coming in and you know, the catches, the volume, you know, now it's four or five catches a game, but it's on four or five targets or six targets.
Yeah, but I don't
think the big catches he has, we haven't seen
that. Yeah, but Michael Floyd. But
like I said, we've never seen that. But he had one catch where he trucked the guy for a touchdown. We were like, that's all
that's
we need.
Good. That's
yeah, you know
good.
What? You've done your part. Thank you very much.
No, just don't drive.
Yeah.
Don't drive home.
This guy?
Somebody take looking you. At the signs. Tell me
this
where
is more surprising.
Score, somebody take
not
him
even
home.
Close.
No, you're right. I mean, the guy's been unbelievable, but the talent was never the question. I mean, if he had his life together, he'd still be playing for the Cleveland Browns right now, right? That's where he'd be. So that's still the question. And I hate to say it, Luke, because to this point you've been right. But this is one of those where every week we have to check back at you. Louie's still right. Louie is still right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the way they have to treat it with him. They don't know.
Late nights with Tom. Think Giselle's around.
He's doing playing like maids or something. What are they, old maids?
Think Tom makes some waffles?
Hi, Lovey.
It's a little different than his lifestyle before. Mike at Framingham wants to talk about that place out in L.A. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, you know, quick question. It doesn't make any sense to me. So the Chargers, like the Raiders, they're staying in Oakland until their stadium's done.
No, they may move in the offseason, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I heard that part. But they could have stayed in San Diego. Oh, how come they couldn't, like, play in the Coliseum? Because the Giants and Jets still play in the same stadium.
I don't know. Why ownership, I have no idea.
Yeah, why they couldn't share it with the Rams?
Scenes, who knows?
Well, maybe they have so many other events there. USC plays there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's on Saturdays.
That's actually also true, Mike. We don't know much about this thing called college football.
I have no idea. Here. But there are 27,000 seats in the stadium they're playing in, Mike. That's
my
all
guess
I
would
know.
Be something contractual. That's all. Something contractual. I don't know.
I don't think I'm far off on this. They're not drawing out there. The 27,000 people are not. They're not enthused about going to these games, even though the stadium is going to be very good.
Think it's going to be 27,000 packed.
It will be packed, but I guarantee you there will be a lot of Patriot fans because you'll be able to get tickets. There's no real fan base right now, is there?
Oh, I think if you get in the AFC title game, they'll come out of the woodwork. That's what they do out there.
And then
in LA.
When a Patriot fan offers them $500 a ticket, what will they do?
Ah, you talk about
take
Hollywood.
A Virgin Atlantic flight for $3.99.
Huh?
Why not? Yeah. We got to take a break.
Yeah, we do.
We'll be right back.
Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
As much as I love Tom Brady, and I still do, and I still believe he hasn't deteriorated at all, there's no erosion of his skill as he hits age 41, I do not trust Bill Belichick's...
Oh, man, you need to stop, Skip.
What happened in Miami was a debacle, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to bounce right back from this one. This wasn't just an off game, a bad day at the office. This was an all-time final play collapse, and it's just hard to get through that because the man most responsible for the collapse was the genius head coach, greatest coach ever, Bill Belichick. Well, it doesn't happen to the greatest coach ever, not like that.
So you could clearly make a case on why you could pick Pittsburgh to win this game on Sunday, right? I guess you could. You could find a way.
Yeah. I mean,
there are reasons, right? Their offense is pretty damn good. The quarterback has come up with big games in the past.
Well, it's like Christian said, they could get you on a good day.
Yeah.
And they're very talented. Of course they could beat you.
And the Patriots' defense on the road sucks. Okay? All of those things. The reason he gave on why Pittsburgh is going to win the game might be the dumbest one of them all.
That's stupid.
It's just idiotic.
Well, basically, Bill has lost the team.
Lost it.
With that decision.
He was fine until that point. Last play of last week was the turning point. He went off the cliff.
Oh, man, you need to stop, Skip.
I mean, so you hear the report now. I mean, Mikey Reese had the story earlier that Brian Flores, apparently right afterwards, just took it in the chin, basically, and said, I screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And told, you know, and Devin McCourty talked about it, and it's like, okay, now we move on. I mean, there's no better way to just squash anything than just coming out saying, I screwed it up.
And I think it'll be
okay, let's move on.
Zero factor in this game.
Zero factor.
The bigger factor will be, can this defense stop Pittsburgh's offense? That's a bigger question because they're playing on the road, and we have a history this season of this defense not playing well on the road. Having said all of that, what was your pick this week?
New England wins this game.
What's the line for this game?
Well, it's actually been moving, right? But I think the Pats are right now at about -2.
It's like a 2.5,
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they – it's the over-under is 52. I like the over. So, I mean, I could see something like, you know 35-27 Pats.
Yeah, I think it's a close game. I think it's one of those that
maybe
goes
33-27?
Yeah, goes down to the wire, and I think New England wins it. And I'm not basing it on as much that I have faith in New England on the road. I just think Pittsburgh is a disaster right now. I think they're a mess. And if I were Mike Tomlin in this game, even if I did not have James Conner, and I still don't think you're going to have him or you're going to have anywhere close to 100% James
Conner. I think
he
plays. I just don't know what he's going to look like.
Exactly.
I mean, they need to win this game. He practiced limited this week. Stephen Ridley's the other option. I think he tries to play in this game. Remember, was it last year or the year before with Le'Veon Bell? Tried to play in a game. And just wasn't the same. I think came out of the game early in it, you know. So I think whether he comes out early or not, I'm not saying that, but I just don't know if he's going to be the same guy.
But I think I'd still run if I were Pittsburgh.
You have to.
The biggest weakness you have with New England, it's going to be a rainy day, mid-40s, apparently, in Pittsburgh on Sunday. I think I'm running the football, though, if I'm Tomlin. I'm not sure he will. I'm not sure he will. I think he'll look at – he's got two studs and, you know, the tight end's pretty good. And we can throw the football because I've got the quarterback. I think you run against New England, especially New England's going to play you in sub.
Well, normally you sit there and say, you got these weapons, throw the hell out of the ball, right?
Yeah.
But I just think that this Patriots defense has shown that you can effectively run the ball, which then makes your passing attack unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, then it's even harder. What are we going to do? We can't stop Connor. I mean, there are people running on him left and right. If you can't stop the running game, you got to adjust, and then it opens it up for big plays wherever.
Yeah, but you've seen them without Connor the last couple of weeks. They've been a different team, right?
Yeah. They haven't run the ball very well.
No. And to me, I run the ball. I take my chances against New England sitting there saying they can't stop the run. They haven't been able to stop the run. Brandon Bolden had two runs against them last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a special teams player. So you're deep into your depth chart right now. But I'll bet you anything, Tomlin will throw the hell out of the football. Roethlisberger will have
50. Two attempts.
40-some-odd attempts in the game, right? And it's stupid. You run against them. But I think New England wins this game. And I don't know why. Mainly because of the history, I guess.
Yeah, it's all about history. It is. And, I mean, Patriots fans this week want to talk all about history. They just go down there and win. Yet they didn't last week. They didn't want to talk about history. Last week was going to be different down in Miami, right? Because that's how it works. You struggle down in Miami, but this year is going to be different.
But
this week, they won't ignore history. And I think maybe that's the right call. As long as Tom Brady is here, maybe you shouldn't. I mean, if they're going to keep running this zone and letting Gronk run free in the secondary like Miami did, God bless him. He will have another big game.
Gronk will have a big game.
So it's – and again, this to me is a team, week 14 of the season, game 14 of the season, week 15, whatever the hell you want to call it, nobody's on the injury report. I mean, this is your football team. You know, you can talk about the rookie class, guys that are injured. Okay, I don't know what they were going to give you. Bentley looked like a nice player. Jeremy Hill's the only guy they don't have. This is the team that they thought, and they added Josh Gordon, which has worked. When you put a football team together, this is what they imagined, which to me, you still have to wonder who they are and what they are. So you have to question kind of what team they put together here
But I think it's a legitimate question. And I think that's the problem people have with all of this right now. They think it's a pretty good team. It's a fun team. They haven't fallen off the cliff. Brady hasn't fallen off the cliff. I think people look at them and they say, we've seen much better over the years. This doesn't look like a Super Bowl team to us. Then you watch last night's game. you look at where New England could be. They still have an opportunity to be the number one seed. They're probably going to be the number two seed. There's an opportunity that they still might play that AFC championship game here in New England. They still have a way, a path to get to the Super Bowl. And yet, I don't get the feeling that people are really
confident about it. No, because it's all about the road.
Not confident about
it. When you think about it, it's all about the road.
Yeah, but suppose they play all of the games at home. The only road game you have to play is in Atlanta.
But the reason why you look at this team differently is how they have what they've shown you on the road, right? Because, I mean, they're 9-4 right now.
Yeah, they're not as good as these teams we've seen in the past.
Right, but if they were a competent team like we've seen in the past, they're probably 11-2 right now.
Absolutely, and we've seen them.
Just give me the Detroit win. Give me that Miami win. And we would sit there and say, you know what? Tennessee happens. I don't know. It's kind of I don't know how to explain it. Jacksonville, rivalry game early on. You beat Detroit. You tackle someone there against Miami. You're 11-2, and you probably sit there and say, okay, yeah, this is just like old school, old team. But they haven't been able to perform on the road. They haven't looked right. Although I think last week offensively they looked a lot better than they have in the road all year long.
Yeah, I agree with Lombardi, though, when he talks about tough teams, mentally tough teams. Those are the teams that win on the road. And this one doesn't. They're 3-4 in the road.
Not a mentally tough team.
No, we've seen 8-0 teams, 7-1 teams before. Patriot teams that go out and win out in the road.
See, that's what I find interesting is that when you go on the road all week long, you hear you got to be mentally tough. Got to be mentally tough to win on the road. But when they lose on the road... So what else am I supposed to think? It's not a mentally tough team. Because I keep hearing all week how important it is to be mentally tough to win on the road, and you just don't show up. You're not the same team on the road.
All right, so suppose...
But they don't want to admit that, right? Because that is admitting fault and a flaw. Maybe you hear it when the season is over. You know, if they get bounced in the postseason, the bottom line is we just mentally, we weren't as tough as we needed to be because all season long we showed it on the road. So if you're going to hype up that that's the key to win and you don't win... Then the conclusion is, you're not a mentally tough team.
So I don't hear a lot of people disputing that, calling us up, though, and sitting there saying, you know, you guys are undermining the Patriots or whatever. Now, maybe that last play in Miami, you know, took all of that away. Maybe that was it. They sat there and said, what the hell was this? To me, I take less out of that. That is one fluke play that obviously you handled very poorly. You defended it very poorly. There were some positive things that came out of that, and that, hey, Tom Brady looked pretty good for a portion of that game. That offense looked pretty good. So if you're trying to look at and take something out of that that can give you hope the rest of the way, there was some of that in Miami, but I don't hear any of it out here. I don't hear people sitting there saying, and yet they could have a path, Lou, that takes them through Foxborough to get to the Super Bowl.
You know, that Miami game really didn't change my opinion on this team at all. You know, because I remember after Minnesota, remember I said I still think they're a team to beat in the AFC? And I expected them to go down to Miami and win ugly. And I almost feel like, I know it's an L on the column, but I almost feel like they did exactly that. They went down there and they felt like they won ugly. They just couldn't tackle with 7 seconds to go. So why should my opinion change over a fluke, last final play of that game?
See, to me, that was more disturbing, and it wasn't the last play. I write the last play off as one of those fluke plays. Screw up by the coach. Screw up by the execution.
But when you expect them to win ugly, what is the ugly?
Yeah, but what
the ugly is missing field goals, is you know, maybe getting gashed defensively at times, you know, especially on the ground, or not being able to cover one freaking guy in Kenny Stills.
Yeah, defense.
Or brain fart by Tom Brady. That, to me, you tackle someone, we're walking out of that game saying they won that game ugly. Because, you know, so defense. I didn't say they were going to win it pretty. They're going to win ugly, which I felt like. Mentally, I almost feel like they did, even though it was an L. They just couldn't freaking tackle.
Defense is still my problem with that team. Offensively, I'm not concerned. Matter of fact, as they get healthier here, and they have a complete depth chart in running back, and they have, and your guy Josh Gordon has been tremendous, and Gronk suddenly looked like Gronk last week, you're sitting there going, okay, but the defense? I can't look at that defense and what they did against that Miami team.
I still want to see a team, and I don't know if Pittsburgh does it this week or not, kind of, you know, jam Gronk on the line, you know, hit him, man-to-man coverage, and I want to see him separate and have that type of game like he did against Miami in that type of coverage, as opposed to, as Ryan Hannibal pointed out, 8 catches, 6 in his zone. The other two were man-to-man with a linebacker. You know, I want to see him matched up with a safety, you know, man-to-man, beat him, get separation before I can sit there and say, oh, yeah, there he is. That's the guy.
You want to see the air come out of the balloon? They lose this game against Pittsburgh. Do you think there will be any excitement over the final 2 weeks of the regular season with two home games against Buffalo and the Jets, even if they beat Buffalo by 40 and the Jets by 60. None.
No.
Zero. They will limp into the playoffs. At least that will be the thought. And they still could be a number two seed.
Like
probably will be.
Every week. I did it in Minnesota, right? As far as, well, let's see what they look like here. This is a show me game, right? You're healthy. This is the type of game you win. You got a good team coming in here.
You got history.
With the defense, as we talked about before, remember red zone, third down, all these blitz. I mean, the stacking the quarterbacks. Yep. Show me something. And they did. I feel like this is, we're still there again now 2 weeks
same
later
way.
With Pittsburgh.
Same way.
Show me that you normally go down there and win, that you're that just everything is normal.
And I think it'll be more frustrating if they don't. And if Brady has a bad game, you want to hear what the national pundits will say in that one. Brady's always had great games in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. What the hell happened? He's falling off the cliff. All right, we got one more segment. We'll finish this thing off next.
Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
Rob Bradford is joining us here after breaking the Big Joe Kelly news. Rob, good morning.
Bradford, it'll be okay.
I was on the red eye coming back.
That was his excuse. He was on the red eye?
You know, I don't know about you guys, but there's talks of the Joe Kelly free agency. I just had Bradford's Twitter account up constantly.
And what did you find?
I just thought that Bradford, if anybody.
He was on a red eye.
I mean, he had like Joe Kelly was on his podcast like every single week in the Bradford show.
What are you talking about? He's on right now.
I don't know if there's one moment besides, me saying, this is the team I want to play for. This is the team that, gave me a 3-year deal at $25 million. It wasn't like I was, it's all writing on the wall before that. So I guess the moment where
sounds like he's on a red eye.
A 3-year deal, and no other teams are at the 3-year mark. I mean, the team's in, but there's another team at that 3-year mark,
Let me get this right. So Rob, that's Rob Bradford's podcast, right?
Yes.
He had Joe Kelly after Kelly signed with the Dodgers.
He had to be. So what was the story? Now on the red eye back when the news broke in the middle of the night.
He's been out in Vegas covering the meetings.
You got to plan your life better there, Bradfo. So he's coming
on these days.
Next, right? He's on next
on the plane these days. I mean, can't you still like text and everything? And you're on the airplane, you get Wi-Fi.
I do now.
Don't you? Can't you all still? Yeah, you still do that, right?
I think you would do that.
It had to have killed him.
And don't you
to land that plane and to see that Ken Rosenthal, whoever the hell had it first,
Pete Abes had it
that
second.
Joe Kelly signed with the Dodgers. That he didn't have that story, right? All those podcasts, that relationship just down the crapper.
Yeah, I would say, Bradfield, you need to plan your life out a little bit better. Right?
I think he had Gorkas Hernandez, though.
And there was no budget there. It's like, all right, I already was really involved.
Do you have the landing on the moon sound or what?
Lou, the floor is yours.
So Bradford's on next.
I think we're fair enough. I think we've heard enough. Cars for Kids reminds you the time is running out to donate your car for 2018. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today or go to carsforkids.com. Schedule a free pickup of your car. So Brad Foe's coming up next.
Yes. Right?
Brad Foe is on next.
Yes.
So he'll give you tell everybody about what happened with the whole Joe Kelly thing.
I can't wait.
I can't believe the Red Sox were only going to give him 2 years and a lot less money.
That's that, genuine.
I am so jacked up.
All right, so we'll get back at it Monday. Big game.
2:00, we will be in Foxborough. Bill Belichick will join us Monday afternoon. And Christian will be back with a whole box of chocolates for all of us. All right, Lou, have a great weekend.
All right, man.
We're out of here.
It is I, Rob Bradford.